Hello and welcome to our program. We continue in our study in the book of Revelation. Stay tuned. I'm reading in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning,
lately how it's really going to be when we see our loved ones again. Oh, what a precious thought. No more tears, no more saying goodbye, and really no more memories, because then all will be sight. United, eternally.
In verse number 4, we were reading that John was writing to the seven churches which are in Asia, and he said, "Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness." He is called here the faithful witness. Now, when they call a witness into a court, he is supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, you can rest assured that when Jesus speaks, he tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It was Jesus who said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, the book of Revelation is dealing with the truth. But we're living in an age when very few people want the truth. In fact, back in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 16, Paul asks the question, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Well, as we go through the book of Revelation, we will see that God does not water down the truth in this book. Some truths are very pleasant. We love to hear those. Some truths are unpleasant. But Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." Whether those truths be pleasant or unpleasant, the truth shall make you free. When we get into the book of Revelation, we see all the truths that are in there are not all pleasant. We find the word wrath. We find the word judgment. We find the words death and hell. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2 that we will be living in the age that we're living in now, when the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And once again, Paul said, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Well, as we look into the book of Revelation, we are looking in truth. None of it is watered down. Now, we read in verse number 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come." It says here, "every eye shall see him." And it goes on to say, "they that pierced him will see him." Those that put that spear in his side back there on Calvary, they are going to stand face to face someday in front of Jesus Christ and give an account. And every eye shall see him. That's 2,000 years later today, when Jesus comes back in this age in which we are living. Every eye shall see him. They are going to understand that this is God Almighty, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it says, "they shall wail because of him." They shall wail because of him. And then it says, "even so, amen." Let them wail. It says in Revelation chapter 16, verse number 15, "and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." There's the unpleasant truth of what is going to happen when these Christ rejectors realize that God is who he says he is. It says in Revelation 19, verse number 15, "and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Well, we read in verse number 9 that John went on to say, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation." So Somebody's causing him a lot of tribulation. He'd been boiled in oil and put on that Isle of Patmos. Yeah. And he says to those who were also facing a lot of persecution in that day, he said, I am your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He said he was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. They didn't like him preaching the truth. They didn't like him presenting Jesus, who said, I am the truth. And so they thought they would stop his influence, and they put him on the Isle of Patmos. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 2 and verse number 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Did they stop his influence? We're still talking about this 2,000 years later. And while he was there on the Isle of Patmos, of course, God used him to write this tremendous book here that is called the Book of the Revelation. In verse number 10, it says, I was in the Spirit, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, it would be great if we could get more Christians to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and they would hear from God. Most of the time, we're coming in, and we're carrying our Bibles like we're acting spiritual, but very few people prepare themselves to hear a message from God. Well, he said, he heard a voice behind him saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. So the Lord told John, I want you to write this in a book, and I want you to send it to those specific seven churches. Now, there was far more than seven churches in the area at that time. Paul the Apostle wrote it, was in charge of starting at least 14 churches in that area. But God picks out these specific churches because they are characteristic of seven specific ages in the last 2,000 years. And we'll see that as we go through this series on those seven churches. But he said, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. The things it says in verse 19, here is the breakdown for the book of Revelation. He said, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things. God said, I want you to record these things. I want you to record the things that thou hast seen. That's chapter 1. The things which are, which represents chapter 2 and chapter 3, representing these seven churches and the seven specific ages that were there, as well as seven specific churches that were there at that time. Write the things which thou hast seen, chapter 1. Write the things which are, chapter 2 and 3. And the things which shall be hereafter, that is chapter 4 through chapter 22. Many people shy away from the book of Revelation because they think it's difficult to understand. It's not difficult to understand. If we would let the Bible explain itself, we would find we won't have any trouble. For example, he says here in Revelation 1 and verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so it says in Revelation 1:16, he had these stars in his right hand. That speaks of being in control. Well, just quickly reviewing, we see in verse number 1, the person of Christ. He is the real reason, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the reason that this book is here. The purpose, verse number 1, to show his servants things that are to come. The promise, blessed are they, he said, that read this book. Seven times in the book of Revelation, you'll find that word blessed. Then the period that it's talking about, verse number 3, the time is at hand. Then the peace that he promises for the servant The one who is a bondslave of Jesus Christ, God says, regardless of the tribulations and the trials and the persecutions, I will give you a peace that passes understanding. And then, of course, it's all prophecy, but it's the truth. Some of the truth is pleasant, some of it is unpleasant. We'll look at that as we go through this series in the book of Revelation. We read in the Bible that the Bible says of itself, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Yes, the Bible.